This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, I'm Sammy P and I'm 18 years old.
Salam, I'm Malaki T and I'm 16 years old.
Hi, I'm Grace and I'm 17 years old.
Mabuhay, I'm Betty B and I'm 17 years old.
Kia ora, I'm Shiva and I'm 15 years old.
Welcome to our podcast, The Screen From Our Side.
We're a group of Oti Poti Rangatahi who NetSafe brought together to talk about our experiences online.
This is our episode called Low Key Online, where we talk about online life. We talk in depth about how online affects others and ourselves. We also check in on each other's screen time and sense of finding our voices. What does being online offer in terms of finding a voice in agency? What's the flip side?
Ooh, I like this question.
I feel like more like...
Someone else can start, but okay. Yeah.
Nah, like, I resonate with that. I'm part of a lot of different... non-government NGOs and stuff like that, and Malak's on a few of these different co-puppers with me, and it provides the most amazing platform to be able to connect youth and just people towards different movements and different organisations that are inspiring change and the betterment of youth as a whole. And I think the online space has allowed us to do that on a scale that has never been seen to man in the past. Like, it's an amazing opportunity to be able to connect other people. And I think it allows me the opportunity to show myself independently and as an individual instead of, a member of my family.
So true.
I think just being online, it can offer you a lot of different things, and especially if you're part of a minority group or you have, like, a specific disability, you may not think that there are other people who can relate to your lived experiences, but then you go online and you see... there are, like, if not hundreds, thousands, millions of people who can relate to you, and you can see you have a lot of opportunity to get advice that you wouldn't be able to with the people around you. And I think that being online since I was extremely young has completely shaped my identity, views, like, everything about me.
I think for me, I love the wide variety of things that I've the wide variety of things that I've been able to do from being online in these online spaces. Like Sam said, we're part of a lot of, you know, youth-led organizations that are based, you know, online, creating social change, because we understand that social media is often where a lot of young people are, and that's the easiest way to reach them when we're all spread out across the country. So in that sense, I love being part of, like, a community and sharing my voice through that. And yeah, just like Shiva said, I agree, like, it gives such a sense of community, like, especially when you're, like, so lost in, like, your own community around you. Being in online spaces can truly, like, show you that you're not alone and make you feel part of a community that you can't find yourself in physically, so you see yourself in it online. And I absolutely love that so, so much, especially, like, as we said in the last episode, like, with COVID, that really created a space for people who felt isolated.
Yeah, it's interesting you touched on, like, that physical community versus online community, because I grew up where the nearest house is 5Ks away from me, and that's my grandma's house. and the nearest person that's, like, the nearest grocery store to me is, like, half an hour away. And, like, obviously that's, like, very physically isolating from community. And I think my first sort of ability to sort of learn about what's outside of just my little small rural area, my small rural town of 1,000 people, was online. And I think that really exposed me to the amazing opportunities that are out there. And I wouldn't have been in this room and confident enough to be in this room or in the other sort of rōpūs that I'm a part of without the ability to be online. And I think that's a really cool fact, that being online has allowed me to find a community that I feel comfortable in and allowed me to advocate for people online and in person and find those people in person as well.
100%.
Can I share a little story? Because I am queer. I'm here and I'm queer. And I grew up in a country where that is not really widely accepted as of now. So when I kind of came into terms with the fact that I am queer, I yearned for spaces that welcomed me. Mm-hmm. And when COVID-19 hit, and when I was a lot more active online, I found that there was an online queer community. Mm-hmm. And it was made up of people from around the world who share similar stories as me. And even though some of our stories are quite different, the sentimentality was there. And that online community was very like a reminder for me that there will always be at least one person out there who will believe in you. Mm. And I think that is important, especially for marginalized communities around the world who need that kind of attention and support. And that just also highlights how important it is to speak for people who cannot speak for themselves due to safety reasons or whatever it could be.
So true. Thank you for sharing that story.
Thank you.
That's powerful.
What's the most confusing or like overwhelming thing that you see online?
I think for me, especially recently, it's just being able to see both sides of whatever it is. So if it's political, both sides, and you just see how like radicalized both sides have become or are becoming, because these online spaces, they're just a breeding ground for whatever you want to say. If people agree with it, they're going to agree with it, even if it's not true or it hurts a group of people. So it becomes a thing where I'm growing up, like I'm still quite young, and I'm just being surrounded by quite a lot of hate, actually, and quite a lot of just extremist thoughts from people on the internet.
I definitely think that the online space has certain echo chambers that you have to be really careful to navigate through and make sure that not only are you not falling for those ideas that certain groups come out with, but also just having enough confidence in yourself that you can form your own opinions and you can keep yourself educated on different things and make sure that you acknowledge that there are multiple sides to a story.
So true. And I think, like, just to answer the question from my perspective, the most confusing or overwhelming thing I always see online is just, like, random propaganda from so many different, things. And also rage bait. Like, you know those people who just do TikToks or videos, they make them just because they know a certain community is going to get annoyed by this. So they're going to flood the comments. So it actually just kind of helps the account, you know, get comments and, like, engagement, whatever. But it's just, that's the most overwhelming thing for me. It just gets me so annoyed. And I want to, like, comment as well and join the
join the hate train almost.
Join the hate train and be like, what the flip? And I want to clock them, you know? But sometimes I'm just like, I want to keep my own peace as well. And I know what they're doing. They're just trying to rage bait me and get a reaction from that. So what I do is screenshot it and send it to my best friends and be like, this is so annoying. And then have like an hour rant about it.
You can have a rage bait session in private chat.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Rage baiting is the new version of trolling, I would say.
Yes.
I think the most confusing thing about being online is probably just the exposure to so much. You get such contradicting information. You'll have one side screaming about something and then the other side screaming facts about something else, and you just get so confused because there's so much. And I think that's the biggest thing to me, is like the most confusing thing about being online is the fact that you've got so many different opinions and so many different people's perspectives not being even told to you, but almost shoved down your throat. And it's not like just traditional media where it's given to you. It's almost propelled at you, whether you want it or not.
So true. And I think I completely agree with your point. And it's just so overwhelming because of that capacity, like how much there is of it. But also, like, sometimes this different, like, opinions helps you form your own non-biased opinion, which I really like about being exposed to different sources on social media, because you can see different experiences and different, like, you can see people talking more than just, like, headlines and news sometimes. And I think that's a really cool part about, you know, being exposed to so much, is that you get to see more than what you would choose to read in an article.
How do you know whether to trust what you see online is real, true, or accurate?
If we're going to leave AI out of the question, I think I can tell. If it's a person telling me something, like, for me, I know what I believe in, and I know that I can't just believe whatever off the internet, because I've experienced it firsthand where somebody's told me a fact. It's like a video online, and then I go and research it, and it's just completely off, and it's just to push their own narrative. So I've become quite wary of these things, and I've decided to use my brain and, like, actually think about what is being pushed at me online.
How many of you guys take history at school?
Me.
Yeah. I took it on level one, but in the Philippines, it's a mandatory subject, so I've taken it every year.
So most of you guys have taken history, right?
I used to take
it. So you've heard of triangulating sources, right?
Yeah.
Like, where you have to get three sources to, like, back up one.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of take that same approach with social media, in the sense that, or, like, the media that I consume. If I'm getting showed something and I'm, like, really curious about it, I'm like, is that real? I'll then go and try to find three different accounts or three different, like, pieces of information that can back that up. Because I think a lot of, like, the actual general news that I consume now is off social media. The New York Times on social media and the News Daily on social media is probably, like, my main source of, like, actual news. I think triangulating sources with, like, information. I'll sometimes Google, or I'll sometimes go online, like, I'll go on Instagram and try to, like, search for the content. But sometimes when it's, I don't know, something that's been personal to someone as an individual that I know, like, you follow people's accounts and they're not celebrities, like, they're actual people. If I want to know if something that they've said is true or something that they've posted or done online is true, sometimes I'll message another friend and, like, ask them, hey, do you think this is real? Like, because I don't know. And sometimes they have really good insights for me. But so true. Yeah. I don't know. Is that something you also experience, Mark?
I mean, yeah, to some extent. I feel like sometimes it's like just I try and do it in the least gossip way ever because, you know, what comes around goes around. But that kind of leads me to the next question. Like, what does chatting safely online mean to you?
To be honest, chatting online was never something I was educated on by my parents or by my school. So it's been something that's very much been trial and error. But something I have learned is that what you say on a chat, you cannot tell the tone in which someone said something. And I've had so many friendships and relationships not blow up, but had major moments of confusion and anger and major moments of, I guess, breakdown within those relationships because I didn't understand the context or in which way I was saying something. It's kind of like that saying when they're like, the expression of what you say something, they're like, let's eat grandma, and then they're like, let's eat grandma. And it's like, how you say it makes such a difference. Are you a cannibal, or are you saying to your grandma, let's go have dinner? Like, in which way you say it has such a big impact.
So,
and
I think
people don't see that on a chat. So for me, that's the biggest thing, is like, chatting safely online is so hard because you can't make people feel the way you can because you're not looking at them in the face. They do not hear your tone.
For me personally, like, I was quite young when I first got into, like, talking to people on Roblox or, like, you know, social media apps. So having experience as young, my parents actually were able to educate me and tell me, like, you know, of course, don't talk to strangers. But then also from experience, I learned that whatever you say on a, like, a messaging app, apart from maybe Snapchat, it can be screenshotted, it can be forwarded, it can be copy-pasted. So your words are out there and you don't know, you might not know the full intentions of the person you're talking to. And you can easily fall into, like, really bad situations over that. And I've seen that happen to people around me.
So true, yeah.
In my old school, in every single elementary classroom for, like, first grade to sixth grade, they always had a cork board, and they would have this specific poster, and I still remember it. It's Think Before You Click. And I think that's such, I know everybody knows that saying of think before you click, right?
I've never heard it.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, that is a saying that I've definitely has been ingrained to me even if I didn't have a phone yet. I only started messaging people when I eventually got to using Discord. And yes, I do use Discord, guys. I'm so sorry to disappoint. But when I eventually met people on there, I was definitely a lot more careful with what I said and with what I let people know on about when it comes to my personal identity, because doxing is a really big issue in those spaces. So for me, chatting safely online means to be careful with your personal information, be careful with your passwords, be careful with your personal contacts, but also just knowing the person that you are talking to, and before telling them anything and spilling your guts out about whatever you want to say, you have to know who they are, and you really have to discipline yourself when it comes to that, just so that you won't get into sticky situations where you would accidentally talk to a person who isn't what they say they are.
What is something you've learned about yourself from being online?
I think it honestly humbled me a bit. Like, being online made me realize that, like, little Sam, well, not so little Sam, anyways, Sam, Sammy P thought a lot about himself, and being online has basically, I guess, meant that I've been exposed to so many different viewpoints, and I think it really helped me adapt my own views, and it made me change in the person that I am, because I no longer have such strong viewpoints on certain things. And I think it's allowed me the freedom to understand that I love my family, guys, I really do, but my family's views are not necessarily just me. And I think it's allowed me the agency to be able to develop my own opinions, and it's taught me a lot about myself, in the sense that it's allowed me the opportunity to research and explore my own ideas, which is really cool, because I feel like that's not something that we all get exposed to, but the online world has allowed me to explore that more.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because even a lot of my friends say that they, after being on the internet for so long, they have definitely formed views that are different from their family members or different from their own friends. So, yeah. But also personality-wise, I would say internet humor has gotten to me, to not only me, but to, like, other people as well. And it kind of creates some form of alienation to other people that aren't in the same side of the algorithm or in the same side of the social media space.
What advice would you give to your younger self about being online?
Maybe just, like, it's exciting. There's so much entertainment, like, literally at your fingertips. But it's also, like, the real world is, that's why we call it, like, in real life IRL, because it's real. So that's where you want to be. That's where you want to keep your head in. And if you're a kid, like, this is something parents and older people say, but you should be playing. And when you get older, you'll realize that you should be playing rather than listening or watching brain rot YouTube shorts. And you should be outside, and you should be getting some sunlight, vitamin D, and just stay in that real world space rather than online for as long as possible.
I think something else, I would agree with Shiva, like, 100%. Like, I think advice I'd give to my little Malaki T would be just don't go on it as much as you are. Just go outside, touch some grass, just do anything.
Touch some grass.
Watch TV, for goodness sake. Like, I think, because right now I'm, like, involved in a lot of, you know, social media management, content creating, and a lot of things that I kind of have to be online for, not just, like, doom scrolling. So you're like, girl, you have a lot of time ahead of you to be on your phone. Just live the moment right now, and just get off the phone. But when you are online, be safe and think before you click.
I'd really be interested to hear this, guys. So this is, like, a little sub question, but what that leads into another thing. What is your, like, average screen time?
Ooh.
If you don't feel comfortable, I do not want to out you, but I am curious.
I'm gonna look into mine right now.
Okay, well, whilst you're doing that, I think my average screen time is, like, 4 to 5 hours, which I
that's good.
Yeah, great. I think it's pretty good, eh? Okay. Like, I'm quite happy about that, guys.
I'll give you context. Mine during when I was at school was 7 hours.
Oh.
And that was not even bad. Yeah, see? One of our unnamed people in the studio today.
Sorry.
Do you mind?
I'm going to
share. Oh, you're going to share? Okay, cool, cool, cool.
Okay, it's fine.
Go, yeah.
What about you, Betty? What's your screen time?
Wait, out.
Okay, I'm going to out myself and say that I have a daily average of 12 hours and 33 minutes of screen time.
What about you, Shiva?
Guys, that's pretty bad. But wait, I can justify myself a little bit, like the tiniest bit. What? Because I go to sleep with YouTube on. So maybe that's why, maybe that's why my daily average is
sure.
up. But right now, my screen time is 4 hours.
Already?
Great. Yeah.
That's today. We've been
in
studio.
And you've been in the studio since 9 a.m.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
What about
I
you?
I think mine's 4 hours, but it did say that was 40% down from last week, so
that's pretty
not going to do the math there.
What, do you have something to add, Grace?
On my phone, I don't really have a specific screen time. It's just on individual apps.
Yeah.
But on, like, social media alone, I think, like, today I've already spent, like, 3 hours and 44 minutes
right.
on it.
So I think this is really interesting.
What about you, Sam?
I already added myself at the start.
How much was
During the school holidays, I want to preface this. I'm going into uni, so during the school holidays, it's about 7 hours
yep.
okay. on my phone.
Fair enough.
It's not too bad.
But any last thoughts on that before we wrap up?
No, it's just crazy.
I'm outing myself way too much, guys.
I guess to end it, get outside, guys.
Yep.
Touch some grass.
Touch some grass.
Be real.
Be real.
And think before you click.
Think before you click.
Kia ora, I'm Bree, a 22-year-old youth and community worker in Dunedin.
Kia ora, I'm Sahara, I'm 28, and I'm an arts practitioner in Utiputi, Dunedin, working with Dunedin Fringe and emerging artists / rangatahi.
And we're co-facilitators for the Screen From Our Side podcast, working with these rangatahi to share their perspectives and experiences in their digital world.
This podcast was produced by NatSafe in collaboration with Otago Access Radio. If you'd like information, support or advice about your life online or would like to report online harm, contact NatSafe.
Thanks for listening. Catch you next time. Ka kite anō.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.